Yes, joining us, Sydney Kings owner Paul Smith. Morning, Paul.
Morning, fellas. Good morning to listeners.
So the season starts December 3 and the Kings host Melbourne United December 5 with crowds back at Qdos Bank Arena.
Yes.
Are you able to put a figure, Paul, on what COVID has cost the club?
Well, my bank manager doesn't like to talk about it. I don't want to think about it, really. In all of it, there's a a lot of positives you've got to take out of these circumstances. You know, we've been able to rethink our business model and look at a lot of different ways to do things that COVID has brought about forced certain changes, and that's fine. But it's not great. It's been a difficult time. We had such a head of steam up after our 2020 season, and then we walked straight into a brick wall. And you know, look, we'll get through it, and we're focusing on looking through this season into the next few seasons. We've got a lot of development plans for our business and what we're looking to do, and more importantly for us, it's going to be this season's the most our first opportunity to really bring the Flames and the Kings together. So, you know, we acquired the Flames last year, and they went off to a hub last season, and we couldn't bring them together. But this year, we're looking at least I think 6 doubleheaders this year at Qdos Bank Arena, Kings and Flames. So Shane Heal and Shyla Heal, they'll be doing the Nathan and Ivan Cleary double, maybe. We'll see. But, yeah, looking forward to it. It's going to be great. And, of course, Melbourne United on December 5, Matthew Dellavedova's debut in the NBL. So that's going to raise a lot of interest, and we're really excited by that as well.
Yeah, Paul's going to ask, what can fans expect? I guess you turn up now and watch. You get to see both teams, which is unreal. But what about Kings' performances expectation? What can fans expect?
Well, look, I think this year we've sort of had a big change. We've brought in a much younger profile squad. Mm. You know, we're really excited by what's in front of us in terms of talent. And I think one of the big shifts we made was the signing of a next star, Maker McKerr from West Australia, who's a highly rated prospect in the NBA for a draft position. Big centre, big 7-footer. He's coming in to support Jordy Hunter. So we bought some size, but boy, we've got some shooting skills. A couple of the guys, you know, RJ Hampton and Jalen Adams are real sharpshooters coming out of the United States. So our new coach, Chase Buford, he's very focused on playing an up-tempo, very fast-paced game. So there's going to be a lot of action. So that's going to be something that fans can really expect. And hopefully it's going to pay dividends. And we're pretty confident in where we're at right now.
Is your roster full? For instance, a Dante Exum, could you potentially make an approach towards him?
Oh, look, you can, but we're very happy where we're at. We're very happy with the balance and the structure of our squad right now. The prospect of someone like Dante coming back to the NBL is there, definitely. I'm sure lots of clubs, potentially the Illawarra Hawks, could make some room for him on their roster, I would imagine. But, you know, I think right now what he's going to contemplate is staying in the United States, probably picking up a position on a G League team, and then waiting and hoping for another shot at the big show. But look, there's always the great news is that in this context, this conversation, and I think it speaks to the development of the league generally, is they are viable prospects now to bring players like that back. You know, a few years ago, that wouldn't have been an option at all. You wouldn't have considered it. But now it is actually a consideration. So there's positives to take out of that. And I think that points to the rising quality of play and what fans can expect. And look, I know in Sydney there's a lot of NBA fans and there's people that struggle to try to understand how they can relate to the NBL. And I think and I appreciate that. I understand that. And I think that really it's getting people in the building for the first time to experience it. And the reality is not many people get to see an NBA game. But, you know, you're going to – we've got the advantage of Qdos Bank Arena. It's a magnificent arena. It sets up like an NBA game. The quality of the entertainment we put together, the whole game day experience is very aligned to that. And so if people can get a taste of it at least when they come to our place. And really important thing for us, what I feel about the NBL is that every game matters. It's not like we play an 80-game season. We only play a 28-game regular season. So everything's on the line every time we play. And so the guys are balled out all the time. They're really going at it. And it's a really spectacular experience.
Hey, Paul, where does the competition sit on player vaccinations?
It's an interesting one. It's encouraged. It's not mandated. But, you know, we at the Sydney Kings and the Sydney Flames, we sit down really the bottom of the sort of decision-making process. you know, you've got federal and state governments, and you've got other instrumentalities like Qantas and other airlines that are imposing vaccination requirements, which limit the ability for player movement. And then, of course, in Victoria, they've mandated that essential workers, including professional athletes, are vaccinated. So, you know, to play in Victoria, for us to go to Victoria, all our players have to be vaccinated. So I think it's a bit of a self-determination process, but as players are working through it, I'm sure they're considering the implications of not being vaccinated. But again, at our level, at our club, we're entirely respectful of the players' health and their own decisions, and you know, we're allowing them the opportunity to make their own decisions. We don't have a mandated view on it. We're allowing them to come to their own determinations and help them work through that.
So all your players vaccinated?
We're going to qualify that. We've got a couple of weeks now before we sort all that out, and then we'll come out with our position on it, yeah.
And how's the new coach, and please tell me if I've mispronounced his name, Chase Buford, how's he settling in?
He's going all right, Chase, yeah. It's a big change for him coming out of Milwaukee. So it's warm. He's not out in the frozen tundra, but he's going well. Chase has signed on for 3 years with us, and, you know, we're looking to sort of build over a period of time on that basis. But, you know, he's a young coach, 32 years old, a lot of experience, a lot of background in the NBA, won an NCAA championship when he was in college. So, you know, he's got a real sense of what's required, and, you know, he's got an eye on talent for us overseas. But more importantly, he's got the ability to help our players make that next step to the next level. And that's really important for our club. It's really important for our culture and our organisation that players can come here and be a destination club and they know that they can improve and we can improve their game and improve their prospects to move on to the next level of their careers.
Memberships are so important in all sports, Paul. How do people become a member of the Sydney Kings?
Well, it's pretty easy. Just go on to sydneykings.com.au and just join on there. We've had a really amazing result. I will say to you that, you know, we've always going into this season, you're thinking, oh, well, people want to come back and how's it all going to run out? Well, we had a special offer around memberships, and we sold over 1,000 memberships, well, over 1,200 in fact. And that, like, we just were blown away. And I think that's indicative of the pent-up interest in sport. I think generally the content, people just want to get back out and get at it. You know, I was saying to your producer prior to joining you that, you know, people are going to a game of Tiddlywinks right now. Mm. I think they're so ready to get back out, and I think we're lucky at the NBL that we're ready to join and catch that wave that's building, I think, around interest in sport generally and getting back. And people just want to get back and be together again in some form or other and support things you're interested in. So we're very hopeful. Memberships are critically important, as are game day tickets. They're really important. We have 14 home games starting on 5 December. Then on the 11th of December, we're up against our arch rivals, the Scumbags from Illawarra. And so we're ready to take them on. And I've told Chase Buford, I grew up down that area, I said, leave nothing in the tank, mate. No secrets. I want everything thrown at those idiots. Everything.
Morning to everyone listening in the Wollongong region. Many of our listeners from down that way.
We've all got our problems.
Love the banter.
Now, speaking of banter, I'd love to be a fly on the wall for some of the discussions between you and co-owner Andrew Bogut, ooh, who's never one to take a step backwards. How is that relationship going, Paul?
Robust. So he goes, all right, Bogut. You're never in any doubt where he stands. So, you know, that's a... No, he's a prickly. He's like a cactus, you know. He's sort of prickly and all that, but he's soft on the inside. So you sort of got to work out how to not prickle yourself when you're dealing with him. But no, we've got a good relationship. We've got to know each other over a few years and a lot of trust involved in that. And look, Andrew's Andrew, and you know you can't contain what he's about. He, you know, he makes no secret about his views on a lot of things, and my perspective on all that is that all of our players, all of our staff, everyone's entitled to their opinions. You're allowed to express them, and I believe in that. And it doesn't mean we all have to sort of sing from the same hymn sheet. And I think it's that contrast and that ability to sort of be adult about it and accept the fact that people are allowed to sort of take their views and hold them. Then, you know, I think it's fine. And look, Andrew brings a massive advantage for us in terms of his network, his ability to... you know, find out information for us about players. And when we're doing our coach recruitment, he was critical in, you know, researching Chase and doing background for us and providing perspective that informed our decision making, and you just can't put a price on that sort of thing. You know, it's so important, and you know, he's really valuable to us. And but you know, Andrew's a key member of our organisation, as is, you know, Luke Longley's a important part of our organisation. His role in terms of senior advisor to myself and to our CEO and coach. You know, that's what we want to sort of bring talent like that around us as well. It's off court as much as it is on court.
Mm. Yeah, Paul, does Andrew have any impact with the players, or he's out of that completely now?
Oh, no. Look, there's things that, and this is the balance of, as a co-owner with me, is that, you know, there's things that I can navigate commercially or financially or with government relations and so on and so forth. But I don't have the basketball IQ that Andrew has in terms of being able to be connect with players and be respected as he is. And so he does have a relationship, and he has a role with the players, and it's very much in the background. You know, he provides counsel, he provides strategic advice to players and coach, of course. You know, and he has a feel for how a locker room develops. And basketball is a really interesting sport in the sense that you've really got a tight, small playing group. And, you know, your locker room's key. You know, at the end of the day, when I'm asked about our prospects for the season, we've got the right talent. If the basketball gods are kind to us and we can avoid injury and we can get a good run, that's great. But if your locker room goes sideways, if it's just not functioning inside that close environment, then it's really tough. And so guys like Andrew are critical in terms of ensuring that we're continuing to sort of build the right culture. And, you know, as a group of players, a group of professionals, and they rely on each other. And that's a really informative and important part of his role in terms of monitoring that and also guiding that as well. These are the intangibles that I think are really important. And you know, I kind of described it as the plumbing and wiring in our organisation. The fans don't see all that stuff. They just want to see what goes on game day. But there's a whole bunch of work goes on in the background to build this in the direction we're going.
Paul, not too far away, mate. Thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you, Tom. I really appreciate it. It's great to be on the best breakfast show in Australia.
No, yeah,
well said. Well said, Paul.
You can come
go
on
the
anytime.
Kings, buddy.
Anytime. Let's go.
Good on you, Paul. And the Kings are $4 favourites heading into the new season.